Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready to wrap up their latest series against the Rockies. And while many of our hosts on this show are uber-focused on their socks, today's host, Annie Heilbrun, is more interested in the camouflage outfits that'll be seen out on the field.
Stop with the socks. I don't really care.
Our other co-host is Bill Center, who knows a lot about baseball but could care less about camouflage outfits or fancy socks.
I am not a fun guy.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Annie Heilbrun and Bill Center.
All right, happy Sunday. Welcome to Padre Social Hour here at Petco Park. Padres going for a sweep of the Colorado Rockies, and we've got a beautiful day today. Kids Fest happening outside. I'm Annie Heilbrun, joined by the dapper Bill Center. I wanted to think of a better word, Bill, but I like dapper.
I'm casual today.
It's casual and dapper.
Right.
And we're here in the team store, so we've got people all around. I love it. That's what I love about the home games, is we get to have a lot of fans.
Our studio in the Western Metals Building.
Exactly.
Ground floor.
Come see us. Come say hi. And we have a special guest. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Austin, who is over there. Huge Padres fan. Give a wave, Austin. There he is. And is watching the show today. So I learned a lot of my Padres knowledge from Austin.
From Austin?
Yeah.
How about that?
I know. Who knew?
Is he getting money as a mentor?
I should. Right. I should give him a hot 10% of that.
Right?
At least, right? Well, Bill, great to have you in here today. And I know that it's been a fun weekend, a fun return from the All-Star break for this team. And what are your thoughts so far now that you've seen the first two games against the Rockies?
Well, I think this is a team that, okay, you want to get back in it. You're talking about getting back in and making a run. This is a team that you've got to sweep to make it the first five-game winning streak of the season. And then you really get a good gauge of where you are the next 3 days against the Giants. And that'll give you a better idea moving forward of, can you make a run or do you start building towards next year?
I think that's such a great point. You've got a chance now to get the sweep, gain some momentum, maybe get five wins for the first time this season if they can do a streak of five wins here. But then you've got the San Francisco Giants come into town for three days. And so you've got this real change in kind of a talent right there.
And if you take two or three from the Giants, mm-hmm. and then you're going to be looking, okay, where are we positioned with the other teams in the wild card race? Are we on the verge of making a run? If we are, do we add? Do we stand pat? And if we're not, then what do?
And you almost need them to have that, right? Because it's tough to be in this position now where you can still say, hey, we've got a chance, but you don't know how big that chance is or not. And it's a tough place to be when you aren't out of it. You're sort of hovering on that middle ground.
Honestly, I think they need an 8-2 homestand.
Exactly. You need to either be very much in it or making that race, that big push, or you need to be out of it and saying, you know what, we've got to go another direction, because otherwise you don't have real solid ground to make a move.
I don't think they're going to go if they were to fall out of it, I don't think they're going to go in a totally different direction. I think they're going to retool for next year. I don't think a lot of people are saying, well, they should tear it down and everything. I've seen all the things on Twitter. No, I think there's a nucleus here, and I think you build from that nucleus. Like, you've got guys, a lot of good players under control. And, like, next year, I think Will Myers, if the wrist is good, Will Myers becomes a cornerstone player that you've got under control. Derek Norris, he's worn down a little bit this year, but we've seen the numbers in the past. We saw the numbers earlier this season. It's a guy that you go with. Tyson Ross, I think you go with. You've got a nucleus to build around. You don't have to tear the whole thing down.
And that's the thing. There'd be no fire sale really happening. There'd be no we're starting completely over. There's, like Bill said, there's a core group, and you start to then make sure that you're filling the deficiencies that core group doesn't bring to the table.
And we're beginning to see what Kemp can do.
Yes.
Going to be a very interesting – I mean, the Justin Upton question will be very interesting as to what you do. Do you move him now, or do you wait and get the compensatory draft pick, and a lot of that has to do with where they are a week from now in the standings.
It all means every game. You know, I always say every game means something. Well, these next week of games right. really means something.
This is a very important homestand.
In terms of how this clubhouse might look right. or might change by the end of the month, what do you think? What does your gut say about Justin Upton and how the direction that they should go with that?
Well, I think the next week will. I mean, if they have a nice run here, mm-hmm. so, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but where they get on a run like a 8 or 9 game winning streak, it would be very. You would be. Within 5 games of a playoff berth,
right.
and it would be very hard then to say we're going to trade them and we're out of it.
And if they do that and they make that run, then they're going to be about 500, right? They're going to be at least hovering.
Well, they'll be closer to it.
Closer right. to 500, and that's what you're saying. I think where you need to be if you're at least going right. to try to make some kind of a push.
Right. You
so.
Need to, when you exit this homestand, you need to be within 3 games of 500, I think.
I think that is a fair right. assessment, right?
Right.
All right, so Justin Upton could or could not be here. And just, again, depending on how these next week or week and a half goes. Really weak.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and it also, I mean, Ian Kennedy will also. There are a lot of questions as to this next week and maybe a couple days after that. A lot of guys are going to be looking as to where they're going to be 10, 12 days from now.
It's really a clubhouse that's filled with guys that could be moved. I mean, you've got everyone from Will Venable, Ian Kennedy. You've seen the reports now about the Astros maybe considering, was it Cashner and Ross? And then you've seen Shields. And you've just seen so many names thrown around that
right.
there's – and any of it could happen. But any of it could not happen, too.
Right.
So
I'll tell you one thing. That I Ross, to me, would really demand a very high
yeah.
price. If I had to move somebody, if I was going to move a starting pitcher, which I'm not sure I want to do anyway, I would think about, well, Kennedy first because he's a free agent at the end of the year, Cashner because he's getting closer, but I could see Ross as somebody that you build, Ross and Shields, you build a staff around.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you don't really, outside of Colin Ray, you really don't have anybody in the minors who's ready to step into this rotation, and you need a rotation.
Right.
All you got to do is look at the Rockies
right.
and say, this is what happens if you don't have a rotation.
That is a great point.
You can have the best hitting team in the world. If you don't have 5 guys you can stand
yeah.
out there in rotation, you've got the Rockies.
And those 5 solid guys.
Right.
It's exactly right. So you think Ross might be the safest one?
Well, Ross or Shields,
I
don't see – everybody's talking about wholesale moves. Well, they could move Cashner. They could move Ross. Well, they can't move everybody.
Yeah.
You've got to protect a nucleus to build around. And so I've heard all these reports. I mean, Toronto's interested in Kimbrel. They may not want to pay a lot of money to do it. They've got a couple nice starting pitching prospects. If you do that, you maybe add a prospect a starting pitching prospect that gives you a little leeway. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple. Toronto has a couple pitchers who are major league ready in the minors. So if you were to make that type of a move, and they're interested in Kimbrel, and if they decide that they would take on the salary and give you a starting pitcher,
right.
that gives you a little flexibility. But
right
now, with your rotation, you don't have a lot of flexibility.
Right.
You don't know if Brandon Morrow's coming back. Lupke's not coming back this year.
Right.
Not that he was going to start this year. Josh Johnson is on a strengthening program. He's not going to be back this year. So you don't have a lot of leeway in starting pitchers.
And that's the hard truth. When we went into the season, there was the hope that
right.
Lupke, Johnson, that by the middle of this, by now, really, that they
right.
we'd at least started to see some time on the mound. And after Brandon Morrow went out, there was hope that he'd be coming back quicker than he's been able to come around. So now they're sort of, like you said, they're kind of a little bit handcuffed with this rotation
right.
and what they can and can't do. You can't give up, like you said, you can't give up huge pieces from your rotation. You're never going to have a strong chance at winning. So,
right.
or you've got to just be very strategic about it and how.
I think before they can trade a starting pitcher, they have to add a starting
yeah.
pitcher.
Yeah.
So that would be. I think any first trade would be for a starting pitcher that could join this rotation. And the other wild card, of course, is Brandon Morrow.
Right.
He's going to start another rehab assignment. He's already been shut down from one. So he's at least 3 or 4 rehab starts away. That's another 2 weeks. So,
what a weird year it would be for Craig Kimbrel if he is traded again. To get traded right before the season starts, and then to get traded possibly middle of the year. Just a funny year.
Right. And I'm not saying that'll happen.
I mean,
but I mean, Toronto has expressed an interest, and they there's a playoff team that Toronto is probably strong enough to win the American League East. They have given away games, late in games, leads. And so there's a lot of talk about they need a closer.
Yeah, and like Bill said, none of this could happen. Some of this could happen. Maybe one or two things could happen, but no one knows. It's all up in the air. We're just kind of going along with the, you know, there's been that rumor flow now. But like you said, I agree with Bill. The nucleus, the core, there's going to be a good amount of players that are going to stay here no matter what happens.
Right.
All right, I want to remind everyone to get social with us. Tweet us, hashtag PadresSH. Go to Padres.com/social hour and join the chat. You can ask a bunch of questions in there and, you know, follow along with everybody else that's in that chat room, right? And you can always ask Bill questions, too. Use the hashtag PadresSH. I want to remind everyone the Padres are excited to announce SDSU Night on Tuesday, July 21st. Join fellow Aztec fans for an evening of big league action to watch the Padres battle the Giants at 7:10 p.m. Ticket packages include an SDSU-themed Padres hat. Get tickets today at padres.com/SDSU. That's fun. Hey, we got a lot of Craig Kimbrel talk to do, a lot of Tyson Ross talk to do about last night's game and everything. So we'll take care of all that after the break. Stay with us, everyone. Padres Social Hour will be right back.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
It's a beautiful day here at Petco Park. Another edition of Padres Social Hour. The Padres getting ready to sweep, possibly, the Rockies if they can pull it off.
Oh, think positive.
Right? I mean, well, you know, you want to be accurate. They haven't done it yet, but they're looking to it.
Pound these guys.
Pound the Rockies and use that momentum to go into those Giants series.
Just crush the Rocks.
It's been a good game as far as seeing some home runs, some long ball.
They really need a sweep.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They really need a sweep, and they need to extend that winning streak maybe to 5 games for the season. That we don't care about so much.
Builds a little momentum, but I agree with the old song and the old saying in baseball that momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher.
Right.
Because
you
can win 10 straight, and if your starter the next day goes out and gives up 3 runs in the first inning, all that momentum is gone.
And we've seen it so much this season. Where
we have seen it.
They'll have this strong late inning or extra innings win on a Saturday night, and then Sunday it just kaput.
Right.
So you're hoping again they're hoping, and I think that they're really feeling good about how they performed the last few days and that they can carry that on into today.
Right.
So that'll be a very good start to the second half.
Right. The reality is there's still the reality. These are the Rockies. You should beat them. And then we get to the Giants. That is going to be the measure.
Your barometer changes.
Right.
Is that the right word, barometer?
Well, that's, yeah.
Is that a weather word?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But that's when you really see, I think the Giants is when you really see where we are.
Oh, yeah. And like Bill and I talked about in the first segment, they need to know that. They need to know where they stand against a team like the Giants.
Right.
So that'll be big. I don't know if any of you guys know this, but Bill is better than any weather person you have in San Diego. He understands weather. There's all kinds of terms for it, like those.
No, I just.
I don't know.
I like watching weather. It's like I just, you know, and like the storm yesterday shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody.
Tropical storm Dolores.
Right, and it was coming out of the south, and there it was. I mean, there's a good chance we could that the system today is moving from the east. But we could have more thunderstorms.
But are you checking like those websites, the Dopplery things and stuff?
Because I do every once in a while.
Look at that guy.
Yeah.
I love it. He's like, I do it for fun.
Right.
That's good. Well, if you ever need to know weather, tweet Bill. He'll give you the 411, and he's really good. He's excellent at it. All right, Tyson Ross, dominant again last night. He gave up 3 runs. What did you think of his performance?
Well, I thought it was interesting because another old baseball saying is like, it was humid last night.
Yes.
I love sliders in humidity
because
the ball's really sharp. And I thought Tyson, I mean, he could have got out with fewer than 3 runs. I thought he looked sharp. And again, now he's working on that streak. 15 straight starts, no home runs, 90, I think it's 96 and a third innings since he last gave up the home run to Evan Gattis on April 28th. So He's a great – I mean, that's a huge stat. You don't give up a home runs. Well, you're not going to be giving up that run for sure.
Big. It's big. And the 15 straight starts ties the team record, right? The organization record.
Dave Roberts, not the Dave Roberts we know.
That'd
but,
be kind of cool.
But back in 1971, Dave Roberts went. But Randy Jones still holds the record for he went 107 innings between giving up a home run. So that's the next step for Ross.
But fastball command for Ross, too. What'd you think about that? I thought his fastball and his slider was working, but both of them were working well.
Right. And when he's got two pitches going easily. I mean, command is so important to Tyson. When he's not walking, when he's hitting the bottom of the zone with a slider and a fastball, he's in really good shape. When he's not connecting down there, he starts walking people. Then he gets in trouble.
And you've seen those walks decrease. I think last night it was something like two walks.
Right.
So that was a big deal for Tyson. 104 pitches. He went 6 2/3 innings, and that's something that we've been seeing from the starting pitchers lately, too, is they're going a little bit longer in the games, which is nice, or at least staying in there.
Well, Shields the night before took him 100 pitches to get through five innings.
That's true.
That was the thing with Shields two nights ago. What a great tightrope act. Because, I mean, it was like he had people on the bases all the time, and he kept making pitches to get out of it. So,
when you're facing those, and that is something that we saw earlier this season that they were struggling with. When they had guys on base, and they just couldn't seem to get out of those jams hardly ever.
Right.
So it was a big deal, I thought, that Shields was able to work his way out of a lot of those.
And one of the guys who had that type of trouble pitching today, Andrew Cashner, is that he would get on a run, he'd be fine until somebody got on base. And it wasn't always Cashner's fault because they made a lot of errors behind him.
Yeah.
But he had trouble nailing down that third out. And now he's on a bit of a roll, too. Cashner and Ross have been on a little bit of a roll. And I think that has a lot to do with not only what they've done right now, but moving forward, what they can do.
And it's funny, too, with Ross last year, the team's all-star, and had really good season as well. And so, you know, you saw some shakiness from him at the beginning of this season, but now he's looking a lot more like he did, or like he's building off of what he's been doing.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a good thing to see, too. Craig Kimbrell, 25th save of the season. He is our firehouse sub of the game. What did you think of how he's doing? He struck out the side.
Right.
Three up, three down.
Early on, what we're seeing from Kimbrell now is Kimbrell, and I just don't mean the last couple days, but his last 20 appearances. He's allowed two runs and 19 and 2/3 innings. But what you're seeing is the wipeout Craig Kimbrell, who doesn't let guys get on base. And two of his last four outings, he struck out the side with nobody getting on. And I think we're seeing now the Kimbrell that they saw in Atlanta. And one, it's great to see that Kimbrell, because if he stays, that's the type of relief, that's the type of closer you have. But if it is somebody who you're thinking about moving, price is going up.
Then you've got more options coming back at you.
The price is going up.
I think that, especially with how he kind of, I don't want to say he didn't give up, he wasn't giving up a ton of saves in the beginning of the season, but he was, like you said, they weren't exactly dominant. They were, you know, he was getting guys on base, they were scoring, and sometimes he could get out of it, and sometimes he couldn't, and so it wasn't dominant. But these last few, or he's had some in the last week or two that have been three up, three down, and the Craig Kimbrell that we're used to seeing.
And the combination we've seen recently, the combination of the really good live fastball with the wipeout curve to get the third strike.
All right. Well, he is our Firehouse Sub of the game, and we want to make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. One of the things I had heard about Craig Kimbrell, and why would you think any otherwise about this, but he was traded, obviously, as we know, right before the season started, and I think it just took him some time to adjust, to be honest. I think it's to get used to this a little bit.
Well, it was his first trade.
Exactly.
Now, if you've done it two or three times, then it's like, okay.
Not so much.
Right, but when you're – the first trade, I think, is always more difficult than any other trade because that's the first time you're out of the organization that you started with.
And that he was revered. I mean, with Atlanta, that was his place.
And you trade it to a completely different place, and it's never happened before. So – the first trade's always, I think, the most difficult adjustment.
Right. And so it's good to see from him. I know we got to talk a little bit Matt Kemp and Clint Barmas later, too. But Matt Kemp's seven-game hitting streak. I talked to him a little bit. He said, yeah, I asked him a little bit about adjustments. He said that he's using his legs a little bit more. He's sinking into his legs a little bit more. But I don't know that it's so much there as it is mental for him or feeling good about the second half.
Well, he's a notorious great second
half
player. Exactly. I mean, and I don't quite understand the dynamics of Matt Kemp. But I'm willing at this point in time to say I'm looking forward to the second half. Here's a guy who, throughout of his career, has had great Aprils, terrible Mays, not great Junes, and when once we get to July, he turns it on. And it's not just this year. It wasn't just last year. It wasn't just the year before, although it happened the same way. It's been throughout his career. Great Aprils, not so good Mays. In fact, really bad Mays. Then he starts to get rolling, and by the second half of the season, he's on fire.
And there's something to consistency.
Right.
All right? If he's doing this every year, then I'm all right with it.
It's next year, I might be optioning him in May.
Right.
Just
and say, hey, come back after the All-Star break. You know what Matt, the kind of season you're going to have.
Take May off.
Right.
Won't look
Not
bad
a big deal.
Right. Won't look bad on your stats. And then come back. We'll see you towards the end of June.
I love that phrase. Don't really understand the dynamics of Matt Kemp because that says it all. But you're absolutely right. He has been known for this, and he seems to produce every time, and that's just his thing.
Now, also, right now, after last night's game, the two-run double, he's at 50 RBIs. He leads
the team.
He leads the team, and he's at 50. That's a really pretty good number for this point in the season.
Absolutely. I mean, it shows how much he's helped this team.
And he leads the major leagues in one category.
What is that?
He has 23 of his RBI hits have put this club ahead. And that's the highest total in the major leagues.
So you talk about a guy who has been helping this team, and although weren't seeing it with a long
ball,
maybe,
still looking at the .250 batting average and saying, what gives? But I'm not going to be surprised at all if Matt Kemp has a very good last 2 months.
And listen, he wants to be doing more.
Right.
It's not like he's sitting there going, oh, that's great. I've got 50 RBIs. I can pack it all up now, you know, this and that. I mean, he wants to be helping and producing, and it'll be interesting to watch and see if that trend continues for him.
The other thing. Now, you've got Kemp and you've got Upton.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday night, they had a home run. They both homered in the same game for the first time this season.
Can you believe that?
Right. Well, no, I can't believe it. But if you were to get those two guys
rolling
hot at the same time, they would carry this lineup.
Absolutely. And they feed off of each other, and they feed off of that production. And that is,
I
think, what people were hoping.
You want them to feed off of each other.
Exactly.
But thus far, they really, I mean, they've been hot and cold at different times.
Yes, yes. But they're two very competitive guys, two guys that are out there with that same sort of type of mindset. And not that the other guys in the clubhouse don't have it either, but you often see them next to each other, Kemp and Upton, when they're hanging around the clubhouse or hanging around the dugout, because they sort of have just that same attitude a little bit, the way they approach things.
Well, and they're veterans.
And they're veterans.
Here, right.
Exactly. So this second half really will be interesting. And, again, this next week really will be interesting, and to see if they can do some of that against the Giants as well.
And, I mean, and if they do against the Giants, then you're looking at, say they win two or three. They finish the sweep here, and they win two or three against the Giants. And then you're still looking that you have the majority of your remaining games at home, and the majority of those are against teams with lower than 500 records. And you got to be looking at the big picture, saying, you know, although we're six games back, do we still have a shot at this?
That's when the whole what if thing really comes into play, and that's really a tough position to be in because a lot of times you want to cling to that and you don't want to give up too early. But at the same time, you're looking at it realistically. They're still six or seven behind the wild card maybe. But like you said, if they can gain some traction and maybe some teams ahead of them lose some traction.
But I do think the fact that the nucleus is there will sort of neutralize this thing of, boy, we've got to make major changes.
I agree. I don't think anyone should be expecting a fire sale or all those big names to be thrown out of here.
Somebody
tweeted
me this morning and said they should trade these seven players.
Oh.
It's like, what? You know, come on. They should trade seven
players. Did they say who they should get a return?
Oh, yeah, they had names.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, that's – I don't think that's going to happen, but I like that you're getting the brunt of that. Send all your trade – theories to
somebody
Bill.
Emailed,
Bill.
Yeah, somebody
all
emailed
right?
me, and I was like, oh, one, how did they get my email? And two, whoa.
They've got – everyone's playing GM right now, right?
Everybody's
got their GM hat on. All right. Well, I want to remind everyone you can join in on the conversation. Hashtag PadresSH if you're on Twitter. Padres.com/social hour if you want to chat with us. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We've got some shortstop to talk about, some injury updates. We'll get to all of that after the break. Stay with us here on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. It is Military Sunday. We love that here at Petco Park. And Kids Fest is going on here as well. I think Bill's going to leave here and right. go ride down the slides, the inflatable slides.
I'm going to race Blooper up the up that slide one day.
Did you see Blooper? Did you see the segment on Padres POV? They did like a behind-the-scenes segment.
Right.
And so he and Jesse talked about the show, and you were in it, and, you know, Brandy was in it, and just what goes into making the show, and how their thing is. And Blooper had a lot of airtime, and he did a great job. I think he was really feeling it. He was feeling the...
The love?
He was feeling the TV thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He's shaking his head at me.
No, okay. Behind the scenes is a better spot for me.
It was good, though. I enjoyed it. Blooper had the look going. All right.
We got to get Blooper on the couch sometime.
We got to get him on the couch. We got to go Blooper uncensored. What he really thinks about the hosts. He should talk about that. Okay.
Well, I know what he thinks about us.
Give the 401 on that.
Right.
All right. If you're on the chat on Padres.com/social hour, we did get a comment here from Smith J. I love the way Kemp reacted to the home run. That put us ahead 5-3. And I think that is something that people really appreciate is that emotion and that raw emotion and just how passionate these guys still are.
Right.
They want to win, guys.
No,
you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, and nobody's going to be 100% all the time. And I see so much criticism over the first months of the season on Matt Kemp, and it's like, you know, he is what he is, and it's not a bad package. And by the end of the season, we're going to see good numbers from Matt Kemp.
And also, I think it's tough on him, or not. This isn't an excuse, but he's got to drown out everything that has been talked about him in the first half of the season. He's got to like make that go away and just focus on what he knows he can do in that second half.
Well. And he's producing. I mean, okay, yes, he's got eight. He's got eight of his nine home runs are in the last 35 games.
Right.
And you know, but he's
that's him.
Right. And he's driving in runs and he's producing. And yes, the batting average is not where you want it to be, and he did struggle. But when you look at the overall work, that it's coming back up to Kemp standards.
Right. I agree. And the Kemp Upton thing will be something that hopefully they can do a little bit more this week and showcase a little bit more, show off a little bit more with the two of them producing like that. All right, we got a Twitter question on the Twitter from Cam Schuster. No, look, Blooper's giving me a look like you had that wrong, Annie. Okay, let's go to Jellyman. Jellyman's always tweeting us. I don't know if Jellyman tweets you. But we appreciate that from Jellyman. Does AJ even consider trading a big name if the other team won't take the entire salary burden? What do you think,
Well,
Bill?
Nobody's going to take the entire salary burden. I mean, that just doesn't work that way. I mean, you're not going to trade somebody and get prospects back and then and tell the other team you've got the entire salary.
Right.
Those things are negotiated. But I still, you know, like one of the names that has come up. Well, if you can get somebody to take the salary, would you trade Kemp? I think the basic thing is you've got to look and say, is this part of our future? Can we win with him in the future? And that's going to dictate what you do.
And the other thing too is they've got to make a decision soon, sometime, you know, this year or next year. I mean, you've got to have a group of guys that are growing with this team. You can't just change the clubhouse big name-wise.
That is a very good point. You just don't keep reshuffling the deck.
Yeah.
You've got to – and that's one of the things that's gone on around here over the years is that there a whole influx of players. I can remember one year when Trevor Hoffman towards the end of his career, and he was here nobody else had been here longer than 2.5 seasons.
Right.
This is before this is when Venable, Headley, and Hundley were very young.
Yes.
And they had this tremendous turnover every year. You can't have it.
It's too hard. It's too hard to grow. And you have Will Venable even being talked about being traded. He's the longest tenured Padre in that clubhouse. And, yeah. All right. We're going to go to the next one. Cam, I'm getting to you now. Bill, do you think that the Padres will have a legit starting shortstop at the deadline? Any interest from around the league? Well,
Well, they're doing shortstop auditions right now. We're going to see Will Middlebrooks again today starting at shortstop. It's the fourth time in the last five games that he'll get a start at shortstop. When you look at the three shortstops they're using right now, Middlebrooks has never played shortstop.
Right.
He's got power.
He was drafted as a shortstop.
Right. He was drafted, but the Red Sox moved him to third base immediately. The Red Sox never saw him as a shortstop. He's got the athleticism to play shortstop. There's a lot of things that go into it other than athleticism. He did turn a couple double plays a couple nights ago. His glove looked good. The first time we saw him, the play where he went back in center field on the pop fly and didn't hear Upton calling him off and then almost had the collision and the run scores.
Yes.
Those are things that as a major league shortstop, you can't be doing those things. He's going to make mistakes, but it's worth a look. However, I will say that if he doesn't hit better than the 215 that he's hitting right now, that's not the answer.
You got to keep a hot bat in the lineup, and that's he's not being able to do that right now.
Barmas is hitting. There's a little bit of question with Barmas's range.
Sure.
So, and Amarista has not performed at all like they thought he would perform this year. So, moving forward, it's very interesting to see if they could trade, if they could make a trade for a top prospect shortstop, I'm sure they would do it. Let's be honest, Annie. A lot of teams aren't trading top prospect shortstops. Those are not on the market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
great point.
Milwaukee's got two shortstops. Segura right now is in the minor leagues. He played terrible at the start of the year. They're interested in maybe moving Segura, but they want an awful lot for him.
Right. And that's how it's going to be going around. If you're going to find someone worth his salt at that position.
People just think, I mean, a lot of fans think, boy, we need a shortstop. We're going to go out and trade for a shortstop. Yeah. It's a two-way street. If nobody wants to trade you a shortstop, it's not happening.
And they're not all just kind of hanging around on their couches waiting.
Boy,
hey,
the Padres need a shortstop. Let's send them our shortstop.
If they're that good, they're playing, and that team's trying to hold on to them or get something very beneficial in return, like you just said. So I think that's going to be something interesting to watch. And as you mentioned, Bill, the big news that came out – well, not big news, but the news that came out about that position, Alexi Amarista going in a super utility role is what Pat Murphy said. And Clint Barmas, I would imagine, would get most of the starts at shortstop with Middlebrooks sort of working in. Is that how you see it?
I would say that Middlebrooks – we're going to see more of Middlebrooks.
Okay.
Until they – you know, and they're trying to make a determination. Mm-hmm. At some point, they make a determination that, well, it's not going to work out. We don't know. They're studying it right now. They're looking at it. He is going to make mistakes. But they're thinking, okay, can he be a shortstop in the future? Is he our shortstop in the future? He might turn out to be the glove they want.
Right.
But if he's not hitting better than 215, which is what his batting average is right now, that's not the answer.
And, of course, you want to give him a little time to get comfortable at that position again. It doesn't just happen. You don't just move guys around the diamond and expect them to immediately feel comfortable in that new position.
And with Middlebrooks at shortstop, with Myers coming back from his injury, I think that's still 3 weeks away. You might also see some of Yonder Alonso at third base.
Now, there's a rumor, Bill. I'm going to throw it out there. There's a rumor that with Pat Murphy saying that Will Myers will for sure see time at first base.
Right.
And he didn't say that he wouldn't see time in the outfield, but he said for sure at first base. And so Yonder Alonso would probably play third. Some people speculate, well, they're going to trade Yonder Alonso. I don't really see that.
That's putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
And we don't know
how soon Will Myers is even going to make it back.
I think it's at least 3 weeks away.
At least.
Because he's
could
got
be six.
Right. And they're talking about, well, he's starting to swing.
Yeah.
Right now, he's going to be swinging with a small, lightweight bat in a cage off of a tee just to get a swing down. Maybe by the end of this week, we'll see him swinging with his bat in the cage. And maybe by 10 days from now, we'll see him taking some cuts on the field during batting practice. This is not something that is going to happen overnight.
Right.
He had wrist surgery. And the second that he shows any soreness with the small bat, with the larger bat, they're going to slow him down. If he doesn't, It's still 10 days away before he starts a rehab.
Absolutely.
At least.
And he doesn't want to come back until he's 100%. It's just too hard when you're dealing with that forearm and the weakness of that forearm and trying to hit. You need to come back when you're, you know, 99% at the worst, you know, or at least right up there. So, all right, we've got a lot more to talk about. I want to get your thoughts on the All-Star Game logo as well. And if anyone watching has some thoughts on the All-Star Game logo, tweet us those, hashtag PadresSH, or go on the chat at padres.com/social hour and tell us what you think. This Wednesday at Petco Park will be a complete throwback experience. It's way back Wednesday, and the Padres are taking on the Giants at 12:40 p.m. The first 20,000 fans will receive a pair of knockaround sunglasses presented by Knockaround. Get your tickets today at padres.com. I have a pair of knockarounds in my purse. They're pretty sweet. That'll be fun. We'll be right back. Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Beautiful Sunday at Petco Park. And Bill, we are about to put you on the hot seat. Do you feel it warming up here in the AMR studio? Do you feel it getting warmer?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Jesse usually when he does this tries to come up with something that will jab me in the ribs. So.
Ooh, we're going a little we're not doing that today. We're going a little softer. See, it's a little bit nicer. It's a little bit nicer when I'm here.
Okay.
Jesse likes to mess with you more. I'm just kidding. Jesse's great. He knows what he can do with you. But I know that I can get your honest opinion about the All-Star Game logo. Now, of course, this was presented on Friday in a very cool event that was held here at Park in the Park and with the commissioner and Mayor Kevin Faulkner and Ron Fowler. What do you think about that All-Star logo, Bill? What's your take on it?
It's a logo. I know that a lot of fans were trying to they wanted to see Brown because Brown would have shown them.
I heard that a lot.
Oh, that we're switching to Brown jerseys and that bring back the Brown. I like to
there
call them my minority, but that'll get me into trouble.
I love the conspiracy theories on it, though.
There's all these conspiracy theories on this logo. It's a logo. It's got palm trees. The arch is for the gas lamp quarter arch.
I thought that's what it
was.
Okay.
But, I mean, I saw somebody that sent a rendering. He thought there should be should show the Blue Angels and the Carrier Midway with all. I mean, there were a couple renderings of logos that were just like, holy cow, what's
going on? Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, we're getting crazy.
Right.
Oh, this is,
There we go.
Yeah. That's all the stuff that is significant. But there's only so much
tower,
you can fit,
right? The California Tower in Balboa Park. It's a logo, and it's got to have the Major League Baseball insignia on there, and it's got to have the year. And I got no problems with this
And
logo.
It can't be too busy. I got tweets from people saying they wanted a burrito and some craft beer. Maybe some fish tacos in the logo. So
craft beer. Give me
I'd love to see that kind of play strategically.
Yeah.
Someone out there is going to Photoshop that. I know that. But I agree with you. It's pretty. It's clean. It's got the nice lines to it, I think, as far as just being a pretty a nicely done logo.
Right.
But there's only so much you can do.
Right.
You know, you can't make it too crazy.
I've always you mentioned craft beer. That's one of my it amazes me sometimes that people are on this craft beer kick. Like if you drink if you have a Budweiser, you're a bad human being.
They turn their nose up at you.
Well,
yeah. I mean, have you talked to Corey Brock? You've talked.
Right.
You know.
I've told
him,
get a clue on the craft beer. If I want to have a Budweiser, I'm going to have a Budweiser.
You should have whatever you like.
Right. Exactly.
Is what it should
but
be.
But if you don't drink craft beer.
Right. And you don't taste the notes of the.
You're like this outsider.
You tell him, Bill. Craft beer and the weather, this guy. He knows what's
up. I don't know craft beer.
I'm going to get you and Corey. I'm going to have you and Corey debate the merits of why you cannot drink just regular Budweiser. What's wrong with Budweiser? There's nothing wrong with it.
Or Coors.
Just they're beer
or Miller.
They're beer snobs.
Right.
Ooh. Miller? Absolutely. Right. Coors? Absolutely. Well, thank you for being on the hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula. The flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Craft beer snobs. You know who you are out there. I'm just kidding.
There are a lot of them.
They're going to tweet me now.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Thanks
I'll be getting it. We'll be
You're
getting
gonna get it.
You're
going to get it, too. Bill, let's take a look at the lineup, shall we?
Gotcha.
Let's get to that. The lineup is presented by United Airlines. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. What do you like about it, Bill? What do you see?
Well, what we're seeing is that – Pat sort of settled into a lineup that he likes right now.
The leadoff.
Right. Mm-hmm. The only Barma's homers last night. He's Middlebrooks is at shortstop, but Solarte. We've sort of reached this thing of where you see with Pat what he wants to do. Solarte, like everybody else in this team, is not your prototypical leadoff hitter, but he does take a lot of pitches. He does. You do get a pretty good look at the other pitcher when Solarte's leading off. When he's on, if he reaches base, not a great base runner, but if he doesn't make mistakes, we're okay.
Pat Murphy said, hey, the guy brings an energy. Not right. that fast, but he brings an energy. Right. So we'll take it, Solarte.
You really want to get Norris going again. That's
Absolutely.
One of the important things.
Absolutely. That's a big deal.
Right.
All right, we will be right back after this. We got more Padres Social Hour. Bill's going to head over to those slides that you see right there. Race blooper down them. We'll be right back with more Padres
you
Social gotta
Hour. You got to run up to run to slide
do.
Down.
Get a good workout there.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here at Petco Park. It's a beautiful day. The Padres are getting ready for Game 3 against the Rockies. They're looking to get a sweep. Bill, I'm going to tee you up here with two things. I'm going to let you pick the one that you want to talk about, okay?
Okay.
The first is this. 33 years ago today, July 19th, 1982.
I think I know.
Go.
Tony Gwynn's Major League debut.
Tony Gwynn's Major League debut
right.
started the game in center field and went
right.
2-for-4 with a double and an RBI.
Right.
That's when it happened.
And when he got the when he hit a single and he got the first, Pete Rose says, "Don't try to catch me all in one day."
Ooh.
Right.
What a great right. memory. What a great, you know, just to think about how what a young kid he was
right.
and just not knowing the career he was going to have and producing on that day is very cool.
Right.
Very, very cool. Last night, Padres Social Hour, the after party, the one that airs with Kurt Bevacqua after the game on Saturday night. Kurt had on Joe West and also the San Diego Chicken. And the San Diego Chicken was all decked out in his San Diego Chicken gear and sharing lots of stories. And so I wondered if you had a San Diego Chicken story.
Well, I remember way back. I mean, I remember when the Chicken made his debut. And he was actually at that time the KGB Chicken for the
yes.
radio station. And he would appear at all their events. And then he got into baseball later. You know, I've seen so much of the Chicken over the years that I really don't have one thing that sticks out. I thought early when this franchise was really struggling way back when
mm-hmm.
that he did draw when you had a Chicken night, he would draw fans. Of course, that was his one of his
breaking
return.
Out of the egg.
Right, that was his return because there had been a while where the Padres didn't have him. He was not coming to Padre games, and that was his. That was
look at
his
that
return.
Video. Just oh, that's great.
Ted Giannoulis.
Yes,
a great showman. Ted is a great showman, and he is one tough act. A lot of other mascots came.
Oh,
I
Kurt,
mean,
is that Kurt Bevacqua? Oh, my gosh,
right.
Kurt Bevacqua is. Look at
right.
that. Carrying the Chicken. They go way back, obviously.
And a lot of
I
other
put that
mascots
together.
Really
yeah.
owe what they do today to the Chicken. He sort of
that
started
is true.
The mascot thing in baseball.
That is a great point to think that
there was
started.
No Philly Fanatic before the
exactly.
Chicken.
Exactly. There's so much I loved about that video.
There
from
was no,
the hats
there was,
and the hairstyles.
There was nothing
to the
of the very friendly
the
pirate. There was nothing of the very friendly pirate and
yeah.
parrot in Pittsburgh.
It started
before.
With the Chicken, guys.
Right.
Cracking out of the egg. Looking for paradise. Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Yum. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at Park at the Park or the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. We will be right back with more Padres Social Hour. Stay with us.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. It is time for the head-to-head challenge, and this is where the couch picks a player, blooper picks a player, and I get to decide, or the host the next day gets to decide, who was more productive or who had the bigger game. So last night, it was Tyson Ross versus Matt Kemp. I don't like the pressure here. I think they both had good games, but Let's go to the standings. Let's go to the standings first. Blooper has 16. The Couch has 18. Now, as we know, Blooper was in the lead for a while here, but now the Couch has overtaken it. And I have to, unfortunately, I feel the stare from Bill, so I'm going to give it to Matt Kemp. Although I do think that Tyson Ross had a good game yesterday.
I'm taking Kemp again today.
You guys aren't going to see me.
I'm taking Cashner, so good.
And you won't ever see me host again because I went against Blooper. Okay, at Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Can't we just give a point to both parties and call it a day?
Nope.
I don't understand. Enjoy the game, everyone. Thanks for watching Padres Social Hour.
Blooper loses.
Oh, God, I went against him.